Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hi, and welcome to today's episode of Bodcast. My name is Matt Hadman, and I'm a regional support manager for Practice Plan. And I'm here today with Stephen Hudson. So would you like to just introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Stephen Hudson. I'm a dentist.
Great.
I used to own a practice, NHS practice, which I sold last year. And I've taken a year off to do some law work, write some books, and just chill out. And in September, I'm starting up on a master's, so I'm actually going to start doing dentistry again.
That's great. So today, I think what we're going to have a look at, what we're going to have a discussion around, is this sort of increased anxiety and fear around the complaints within the dental profession. And we're also going to have a little talk about Stephen's book, which he's compiled, called The Dentist Survival Guide. So I suppose just starting that off then, Stephen, tell me what made you decide to write or compile the Survival Guide in the first place?
I don't know, it's just an idea I had a few years back. It's not the first one I've done, actually. There's been quite a few. And basically, I like to think that if you get all the ideas of different dentists together, you're going to learn something from them. Because if you get 30 dentists with all the experience they've got and get them each to write a piece on something they're passionate about, you can then give that to somebody else who's maybe struggling. I mean, I've actually had a few people email me saying, look, I bought this book, and it's really helped me in a difficult period because there's such good advice in there. And you can go on a course, you can go on Facebook, there's plenty of Facebook groups, like Mental Dental, for example. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's a really good Facebook group for people who are struggling in the profession, because you can just go on there, you can put an anonymous, I want some help, and all these people just come and PM me, I'll give you some
Fantastic.
Advice, ring me. Yeah, so, because... Yeah. Apart from the odd thing that the BDA do, like the Sick Dentist Scheme and Dental Health Support Programme, whatever they call it these days, there's not a lot out there to help dentists. So I figured, put this together, and it's also a charity book as well, so we give a bit to charity. So,
Fantastic.
The Drew Charles Dentinal Tubules Foundation, which is an education charity for third world countries. Because I don't know if you know Drew, but he's passionate about educating people.
Okay, great. So so some of the proceeds from the book went towards supporting that?
To date, it's raised about 850 quid, which isn't too shabby, is it?
No, that's a great amount of money, isn't it? And I'm sure, you know, any charity would be really thrilled with that. So I suppose just having a think probably really around what the book actually found for you then, do you think that the fear of litigation for dentists today is the biggest issue that they currently face?
No. It's big. I think the GDC is still the big one.
So you think the regulation is the biggest issue?
I mean, if you get sued, you get sued. Yeah. If you get to the GDC, you can lose your career. Okay. And it's happening. And there's been... I mean, although the GDC have got better, they're still probably a bit too strict in their regulation. I think they've learned. They've learned over the last few years that the path they went down was a bit too harsh. But I still think they need a lot of work doing.
Okay, so there needs to be some sort of reform there to support that. So given that then that the regulation is the biggest issue that you think you're finding, how do you see the future of dentistry with regards to that issue?
With the regulator, as it is, with the Montgomery case, which changed the rules on consent, I think dentists now have to start looking about leaving the NHS.
Okay.
I mean, I'm saying this for someone who worked in the NHS for 21 years and was passionate about it, but I just don't see it as viable anymore. Because if you're doing 5-minute checkups on the NHS, you're stuffed. You're not going to be able to get the consent for the treatments. You're not going to be able to meet the GDC standards. So I think now's the time to start looking.
To look for another option and another way to run your business.
At least try and make a plan. Because there's a lot of people out there who can't leave the NHS at the moment because one reason or the other.
Yeah.
So they should at least look to formulate a plan on how to some point in the future, because we don't know what the new contract's going to be like.
Nope.
If you look at the history of dental contracts, we always have this. I mean, I was talking to some dentists the other day, and they're saying how good item for service was when you think about how the UDA, or udders as we call it. But back in item for service, they were saying how good the previous one was. And then those were talking about how the dentists in the 1970s were millionaires. So each stage of the NHS contract just gets worse.
Okay. And I suppose when we talk about the NHS as well, what we also know now is that there's this whole issue now around the increased clawback that, yes, that practices see at the end of every...
It's something, like 25% of practices, some crazy number, yep, have had clawback.
And I think now as well, what we're finding is that that money doesn't get reinvested into dentistry. It's just used to balance the books elsewhere within...
It gets wasted.
Yeah.
I'll give you a classic example of waste. In Doncaster, they have a dental access centre. It's in a building which is a PFI building. And one floor they rent for 8 dental surgeries. And the rent alone, without material costs, without wage costs, is £500,000. That's £500,000 of the dental budget that's going on this one floor. What makes it worse, if you go to the local hospital, there's actually a clinic there that they used to use, which doesn't cost them a penny.
So
that's what I heard.
Yeah. So like you say, if we use examples like that, we can see how money is wasted at the moment. So I suppose then what do you think we need to do? What should we be doing to try and resolve these sorts of problems?
I think if you can leave the NHS, go private. Because at least that way you're going to be able to write your notes up properly, because that's probably the main thing. Because if you take an expert witness, give him some notes, he's going to go on what the patient says in their witness statement and on the clinical notes. And if the clinical notes back you up, you've got a good chance of the case going away. But if you're just writing exam scale and polish, or if you're writing reams and reams that have been cut and pasted, then it's not going to help you. You've got to write the notes for the patient. But you've also got to know what Montgomery means. You've got to understand it.
Okay. And do you think dentists do understand it?
Some do, actually, yeah. So they do. I think they're catching on. It's the medics who don't understand it. They haven't got a clue.
Okay. And then that's just putting them at further risk if they don't. So going back to the book then, I suppose, talking about the survival guide, how much feedback have you received around the book? What's the feedback been like?
Well, we sold them all. There were 600 copies printed and they're all sold. So it's only available on Kindle now, I'm afraid.
Okay.
But I've not had anyone want the money back. So that's a good start.
So that's a good start. Yeah. So people have obviously found it useful if they haven't asked you for their money back.
I had a private message on Facebook from somebody about a month ago. And they said, I've read your book. And I want to thank you because I was going through a really troubling time. And it just sort of clarified everything for me. And I actually enjoy the job again. So it's just one book can do that.
And just help put their mind at rest.
I mean, it's worth doing it just for that.
Yeah, just for that one.
Just for that one person.
Definitely. So any plans for a sequel? Any plans to put any more together?
It's not a sequel, but there is another book coming out probably next week. It's called The Stressed Dentist's Guide to Dental Law.
Okay.
What the regulator won't tell you and what the lawyers don't want you to know. It's just a compilation of all the regulations and guidance that I can find, and I've just stuck it in one place.
Fantastic. So that'll be another really useful book, hopefully.
Because otherwise you have to go through the internet and trawl through everything.
Okay, great. So I think that'll be really useful to our listeners. So thanks for today, Stephen.
Thank you.
Thanks.